I was like, I've been talking to myself for like a little while now.
Andy normally interrupts me way more than this. Where are those classic mm-hmms that Andy's always given me, huh?
Can I feel like a lot of what I do when I edit the podcast is erase art mm-hmms because I don't think it sounds that great on a podcast, but I need it in conversations.
Right. It's integral to know that someone else is there.
Welcome to Direct Video.
VHS?
A podcast where we pair movies like fine wine. Andy, mm-hmm. I'm going to say something controversial.
Really?
Yeah. I think this might be the worst movie I have watched for this podcast.
It is really bad. From beginning to end, everything that this movie tried to tell me was met with a resounding why. For what purpose?
The character assassination of multiple great characters to turn them into the garbage side characters in this movie is frankly sad. Bartok the Magnificent was not nearly as bad as this. Like,
no. And for a movie that was barely over an hour, a solid 68 minutes and 30 seconds. Nice.
Can I tell you something about this?
Yeah.
20 minutes in. I got 20 minutes into this movie before I was like, fuck it, and turned it up to 1.5 and never slowed it down again.
Wow. That's really funny because I got 30 minutes in and I was like, maybe I'll finish this tomorrow morning.
I was like, I cannot deal with this garbage movie at normal speed.
Because I paused it because I was like, well, I'm going to need to get something to drink. Right, I'm gonna need to like make a drink or something. And when I saw that I was barely halfway through, I was like, maybe I'll finish it tomorrow morning. Maybe I could just finish this tomorrow morning. But I did finish it last night, and then I was worried as I fell asleep, maybe I'm not gonna remember it. Maybe it'll wipe itself from my mind.
I think this is one of those special movies that made me irritated enough that I'm gonna remember it
for the rest of my life.
Like, because a lot of movies that we watch were like, and then what happens next? But this one's like, I was engaged in that I did not like it.
You could put a gun to my head and I would struggle to tell you anything about most of the Swan Princess movies. But
so
like,
there's
I think
Royal Mystery.
Yes. Yes, there sure is. They go to not China. Christmas happens and there's a cat who only has one life left. Like there's like, you know, bullet points of things over God, like 9 movies. But this,
a flower farmer
gets exploded of all things, of all the kinds of farmers that could explode.
That bit was good. Continue.
This movie was like, it was uniquely mediocre, mm-hmm. but I think the really frustrating thing is that The Secret of NIMH is like a pretty good movie.
Right. We were talking about how it's like
one of the best.
Maybe a coin flip, but like maybe the best Don Bluth movie that at least that we watched as adults.
Like, it really is like if your proclivity is talking animals or like alternate history princesses, mm-hmm. right? Obviously, I don't want the two genders of like kind of movie that you could like. But like every choice that this movie made the original movie worse or directly contradicted it in a way that was fucking infuriating.
They kept on saying this one contradiction over and over and over again.
And what
sick.
Was that? Because it happens at the beginning, I believe, of the movie.
It's the third thing in my notes. Let me tell you the first two notes. Number one, still loving that lion. This will be my only positive note for this movie.
I miss this MGM lion. I really do.
It's a good lion. They never should have stopped. The second note was, is this recap going to matter? And the answer to that was kind of, but really no.
So the thing about the recap is that
because they keep
movie...
on, what's so weird is they keep on saying all this plot stuff anyway, so you don't need a recap. Sorry, continue.
Correct. No, correct. But I do think a big part of it is like, oh yeah, we released this sequel like 15 years later.
Way too much. Nobody wanted this. Like nobody was clamoring for it. There was no dumb kid who just watched the original that wanted to watch a sequel. Like, I don't know who it's even for. I think this might be another tax fraud movie. Like
110%.
For another reason.
This movie looks, we can't talk about it now, but this movie looks terrible. The recap is original 1980s Don Bluth animation.
Yes, this is how they trick you.
And then you zoom out into this like disgusting fucking like Jumpstart looking ass computer animation.
It does look like Jumpstart. It looks like Jumpstart preschool.
And then you're like, there's no way the movie's gonna look like this for the whole time. And you're right. It looks worse as the movie goes on.
But they put their best animation in front.
Uh-huh.
I want to mention that it was in the recap that I have this note.
Yes,
Nicodemus never said this.
He never said this.
How dare you?
The plot of the movie hinges on something that does not happen in the original movie.
Mm-hmm. But everybody keeps saying that it did. Like they're trying to trick me, a grown-ass adult.
I just watched this movie. I did not have 15 years of... I didn't pick this movie up from the Walmart bargain bin and go, my child doesn't need to watch the original.
So, according to this fucking movie, this fucking garbage bullshit movie, it opens on a prophecy, guys, which is the worst. Like, everybody knows the opening on the prophecy is like the lamest, dumbest shit you can do. And here's this movie doing it, claiming that Nicodemus, who, by the way, was not a prophet.
He was just a guy. He was just like a really smart guy, maybe telepathic.
Maybe a little bit magic, but not, he could not see the future. Otherwise, he wouldn't be fucking dead. claiming that he said that John Brisby's son,
Timothy, specifically.
Now, here's the thing. I think in the intro, it doesn't say that. So then the next bit.
Two minutes later.
will like, do what, be another John Brisby or some stupid garbage, some chosen
we'll
one
hero.
Bullshit.
And literally it's like, just says we'll be a hero.
Fucking why? What? Like, oh, save us. Save us from what? Shut up. Like, this is nothing. And it's literally nothing. The whole plot of the movie only happens because everybody already knows that this absolute asshole dipshit will be a hero. He is, by the way, the worst. Timmy is the shittiest character. I hate his guts.
I was watching this movie largely by myself. May was reading something else, was just like tuned out. And so I got like when he transitions into an adult in which we'll get to.
Where he loses his shirt and gets a vest.
Yeah.
Stupidly.
It's very dumb. He grows up into an adult and May just looked over and was like, that's incel vibes.
Oh, yeah.
And proceeded to not interact for the rest of the movie. But it is. Like, Timmy sucks so bad as a character. And you expect him to maybe have, like, a je ne sais quoi, like, a growth. Maybe he learns a lesson.
There's literally a bit toward the end where I'm like, wait, did he not learn anything from the whole fucking movie?
Yeah.
And I was like, I it's like the second time. Yeah, here's the note. Cool. Timmy hasn't learned anything. And then I just wrote down shit heel. Because that's what I'd been calling him at this point. I'd just been calling him shit heel the whole time.
He sucks so bad. He's like the
so bad.
Because he's the worst kind of like character, which is he is a character whose entire defining character trait is that he's useless. And normally the way you get around this is you give them like a special skill. For example, here's a great example. I used to watch this tennis anime where the main character is bad at tennis.
Good.
But because he's really good at math, eventually becomes the best at tennis because he just gets like incredible control of the tennis ball.
Sure. you could do like a like everybody's always underestimating him type of thing. But yeah, like everybody keeps deciding to trust him with shit, and he keeps fucking it up, fucking not it even up. In like a charming way. Just by like being an absolute asshole.
By just being like, I thought I was supposed to be a hero. Let me do hero things.
Yeah.
And then he fucks it up and he's like, I guess I'll never be a hero. Yeah. I don't know why anybody trusts me. And it's like, dog, me neither.
Yeah. Fuck off, dude.
We start the movie with the recap. We then jump into this like, like early 2000s adventure game where Timmy and his brother, Marcus...
Gun to my head, maybe.
Marcus, the Sean Astin character in the first, or no, Martin. The Will Wheaton character.
Martin.
Yeah. The Will Wheaton character in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. No way they got Will Wheaton for this.
No, 110% no way. Hold on. Well, now I have to check. Oh, wow. They got Ralph Macchio to be Timmy from Karate Kid.
That sounds like he's real down on his luck.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. They're rabbit sledding, I guess, racing.
Yeah, it's sort of like a gladiator thing where they're.
Yeah. It's a real.
Where the rabbits are pulling them and they're on like.
Ben-Hur.
I want to say like shells. Yeah.
Yeah, like walnuts.
It's fine.
Martin absolutely like destroys Timmy. Then Timmy tries to cheat by taking a shortcut.
I want to mention real quick, the animation where he's running to do the shortcut is awful. I know it's all awful, but I was like, I can't even see the shortcut he's supposed to be taking. I don't know why we're doing it like this.
They do this thing in this movie where they'll have characters running towards or away from the camera, but they don't change size. And so it just kind of feels like they're running really slowly to the left of the screen sometimes. And I'm like, where are you going? Also, the lip syncing in this is terrible. Like,
I thought it was, but again, at one point I had sped it up, so I wasn't sure anymore.
I was like,
is this my fault?
There's a part of the movie where like everything didn't sync up at all, and I was like, was this animated for a different language? Like I genuinely don't think so, which is even worse. Like, at first, I was like, maybe this was done by, like, a Japanese animation studio or something. No. This was done by, like, an American studio, which is terrible. So, Timmy gets captured by this incredibly elaborate trap that he somehow does not see.
Yeah. He just runs right into it because he's a fucking idiot. And then Martin gets him out.
Martin gets him out.
Because, and this movie will really, really not do the thing that it wants to do, which is prove that Timmy is the hero and Martin kind of needed to learn what a hero is, because Martin actually keeps being heroic.
Martin saves Timmy, and to be fair, then proceeds to dunk on him so hard.
He's his big brother. He absolutely should.
He's like, you're the runt of the litter. You're useless. You can't even avoid a trap. You can't even win a race. Why the fuck does everybody think you're special? Just because some dumb old rat said so. And Timmy gets really sad about it. And then Martin's like, hey, sorry. I'm just mad. Let me teach you how to use a slingshot. But cool. That's the coolest big brother maneuver. I never gave my little brother a slingshot. And that's, you know, I feel like that's. That was a lost opportunity. I should have done that.
If my little brother had a slingshot, somebody would lose, and I.
Oh, 110%. Maybe not on me.
You know, using it badly. Maybe me, because he shoots it at me. Maybe one of our parents. Like, it would be bad.
Listen, you're right. But think of the like bonus points, right, you would have gotten. My relationship with my little brother is great, but he would have been so much better had I given him a slingshot.
One time my dad's boss gave my little brother a whip.
What? Why?
That was confiscated fairly quickly.
What? For under what circumstances?
I'm not entirely sure.
Like, my dad rides a horse, and nobody in his life has ever given me a fucking whip. That's crazy. All right.
Hey, it absolutely was crazy.
Did he hit somebody with it? Is that why it got confiscated?
Andy, yes.
Okay.
Like, absolutely. I believe there was a bright, beautiful moment where my parents were like, you can play with that if you don't swing it at anybody.
Yeah.
And that lasted about 15 seconds.
My go-to, because I had seen Indiana Jones as a kid, is I would have set up a bunch of cans outside.
Oh, that would have been cool, actually.
Right? Here's the thing is you can't tell kids how not to play with toys. You got to give them really strict barriers on how they can play with it.
This is how you should tell all kids to play with anything if you don't want them playing a certain way.
Yeah, yeah.
So speaking of parents.
Yeah.
And going back a little bit, speaking of character assassination.
Yes, yes, yes.
I do not respect this Mrs. Brisby redesign.
Yeah.
They turned her into an old lady. It has been possibly 3 years. Like, max.
That's the thing, right? Is they're still kids.
They're still kids. She is an old lady. All this is doing is trying to communicate to me, the viewer, that Mrs. Brisby, hero of the last film, is no longer a hero anymore. And that fucking sucks. And she acts so beholden to Nicodemus, a guy she knew, for all of 3 minutes. And... okay, so Martin is pissed about this whole, like, Timmy's the chosen one thing, right? Because you absolutely would be. Yeah,
understandable.
It is actually the one reasonable human emotion in this movie. and he's like, why is Timmy going off to join the rats? It should be me. Why is it him? And she says it isn't our decision. And I was like, this was the woman who went, her whole reason for adventure was saving her sick son. And she thinks that sending him away forever isn't her decision?
She's packaging this kid into a fucking cannon and being like, what am I supposed to do about it? It's not like it's my fucking kid.
And then also, Auntie Mole is there. And she's like, don't you dare speak about Nicodemus that way, bitch. She didn't know him.
In the last movie, she's like, I fucking hate the rats of Nim.
Yes.
Nicodemus is a charlatan and I'll kick his ass.
Right.
And now she's like, I love him.
How dare? How dare this movie ruin these characters? Auntie Mole wasn't even a particularly good character, but they can't let her be Auntie Mole anymore. It made me very... just kind of miserable.
Yeah. And also, again, I cannot stress that everybody just looks terrible. Mm-hmm. They just throw Timmy onto the back of Jeremy the Crow. I believe the only reoccurring voice actor from the original movie.
Yeah. And then they fly off to, I can't remember what they call it.
Thorn Valley.
Where the rats are frankly living a little bit too large secret.
They have
you can see the farms from overhead because
human-sized farms.
Yeah.
And then they have this like perfect little Epcot Center futuristic city around like a tree.
This seems like a good time to say that there are songs in this movie.
Oh, right.
They all suck.
Yes.
Not only does like the music suck and the story of the song suck, but the sound design of the songs is bad. When the lyrics will come in and the volume of each individual lyric is borderline random.
Yeah, it doesn't feel mixed at all.
It's so odd.
There are moments when like the music doesn't like fade in so much as it like stumbles onto the scene. Also, I don't think any one of these voice actors can sing.
Nah. Absolutely not. They did not get singers to do it, for sure.
No. Like, I feel so bad for all of these kids that they got to do the Timmy songs.
Yeah.
Because they sound terrible. They sound so bad. Like, it made me kind of be like, damn, the Land Before Time people really knew how to cast a kid that could sing.
It is offensive that this movie can make you be like, you know where there were good songs? It's Land Before Time. And like...
At the very least, they were memorable.
Yeah. I mean, some of those songs actually were good, to be a little bit nicer. Yeah. But like... There was a lot of, like, not, especially in the earlier one we watched, there was a lot of not very good songs. I would have traded any single one.
Yeah, yeah. For just any amount of, like, energy or pep. Yeah. This is kind of a sad, slow movie also. Because we get to watch Timmy get to town. He immediately starts bumbling and fucking up his way around town.
But everybody's so... thrilled to see him. Like, this is honestly like this borderline is... offensive to me that like they're all so sure that he's a fucking hero that when this kid shows up, everybody in town is essentially like singing him a song. He fucks up everything and their smiles don't crack for a second, and it's like weird. It's like weird vibes in this town, man. You don't want to live here. Also, aesthetically, I just want to mention that, like, and I don't want to go too much into the aesthetics of this movie, but this was when it was most jarring to me, I think. Remember the Rats of Nim in the last movie and how it was like they were Camelot and they were like a big city in this world that didn't know what a big city was?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not like that anymore. This is like Pocahontas 2 now.
Yeah, they very much lost the visual, like, medieval kind of design.
Yeah.
They also have, like, kooky little inventions and stuff, which is fine. Like, they had kooky little inventions, but, like, in the last movie, it felt, like purposeful, right? Like,
it was more grounded. Like this is the kind of invention you come up with when all you have to work with is stuff that humans have discarded.
Correct. And here it's like, I don't know, here it feels more like Tinkerbell shit.
They have, yeah, it does actually. They have like three kinds of flying machines, which is too many. You only need one kind. Particularly because they also have birds that they will fly around on. So like, what are we doing?
Oh, that's true. That's true. So we meet Justin, voiced by the impeccable William H. Macy, wasted on this movie.
Everyone is wasted on this movie. There is nobody who comes out of this movie clean.
Yeah, that's true. He meets Timmy. Oh, and so does the little guy, Mr. Aegis.
Okay, I thought it was Aegis, but now it sounds like Ages, and I don't know which one is correct, and I don't care to look it up.
It just vaguely annoyed me. Okay. I think the first movie is correct. I think the second movie is wrong.
I believe that 100%. Like,
right. That's my stance on it. Because I just don't know. It's so weird how willy-nilly this movie treats the source material.
Yeah.
Because like Justin shows up and he doesn't look a fucking inch older. They made Mrs. Brisby look like she had like fucking like a World War II widow. Like, coming out of the fucking, like, bombings of London, and this motherfucker looks the same.
He looks exactly the same. If they could, they would have cropped him out of the old movie and just put him in this one. He looks fully exactly the same, so does Aegis. Like, everybody looks the same except Mrs. Brisby, and it pisses me off.
Justin then proceeds to show Timmy the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life. Which is a larger-than-life statue of his dad in the center of town.
Right, right. He does, yeah.
You know, it's got a big old plaque, just says Jonathan Brisby, and he's like, without your dad, none of this would be possible, and you're gonna be just like him one day.
Okay, so this, two things. One, this is a good example of, like, the over-the-top stupidity that this movie goes to portray the much more grounded and normal stuff from the last movie. like how Jonathan Brisby was a hero. How is he a hero? Well, he ended up having to sacrifice himself to save his friends. And that's awful. And this one's like, he's a hero. We made a big statue of him.
And that's how you know.
And and here's the other thing. Part of the plot of this movie wants to be that Timmy feels unworthy of his father and this legacy. But the problem is that almost as soon as that idea is introduced, it is completely forgotten. And by that, I mean, there's a song that he starts to sing about it that literally becomes about something else. Like, a minute into the song, he forgets what the song's about.
Every song does this. Every song in this movie, like, you're like, oh, that's the theme. Oh, wait, I guess that's the theme?
Yeah.
That's the theme.
These songs were written very stream of consciousness.
And I cannot stress enough. Timmy is right. He is not worthy. He is never going to be like his dad.
The upsetting thing to me is that knowing that you can't live up to a legacy is not a bad start to a story.
No, it's not. But like,
and like, they just can't do it. They're so bad at it.
One of the big things about, because here's the thing, right? Is that the first movie already did this. Jonathan Brisby in the first movie takes up so much oxygen, and it's suffocating to Mrs. Brisby sometimes to realize that her husband had this life that she never knew about.
And this is, again, despite the fact that he's not in the movie. That movie is honestly, after watching this one, that movie has become more beautiful to me for being able to tell that story.
Right? And like, so one, the first movie already did this story. But two, it's like they don't care. They set this thing up and then they're like, yeah, and he just gets it, you know, because the movie has to end. So people just get to treat him like a hero for whatever that means.
Yeah. So in his song about how he can never live up to his father, I mean, the song about him wanting to become a hero, I mean, the song about how he'll never be a hero. I forget what the song's about because so does the fucking song.
The song about how he wishes he had a dad?
Maybe, sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah, you're right, that's part of it. He grows up and changes out his dumb shirt for a dumb vest and honestly looks worse for the rest of the movie.
He changes it for a pretty nice looking sweater at one point.
Does he? Well, he ends up wearing a vest like he's off-brand Aladdin for...
It's crazy to me, right? Because like one of the big things that like the rats of Nim do is they wear clothes.
Yes.
And so I thought, oh, to show how like Timothy is integrating, right, into this society, that he would also wear pants. Nah.
No. He Donald Ducks it.
He's Donald Ducking it the whole time. Imagine if Aladdin didn't have pants. Now stop imagining. Stop it's imagining nasty. That. How dare you? As a children's character.
This is a family podcast. We just swear a lot. It's a family
podcast.
It's educational.
Also, this song lasts his entire childhood well into his adulthood, which is an insane thing to do. It's an insane time skip.
Good movies can do that. I'm trying to think of one.
The Lion King.
Thank you. My brain is fried.
I got you. I'm right there with you. But like, it's an insane thing to do because we see him go from like learning at school and like learning how to like fight to like scrubbing the floor in front of his dad's statue.
He's scrubbing the floor in front of his dad's statue. And I do not know if this is because he is a student still and has done something wrong. Mm-hmm. If it's because he's a janitor, like a keeper. Yeah. For the statue or fucking what?
Or because he's so obsessed with his dad that he's just cleaning the statue.
Maybe, but we never learn because the movie does not care what he's up to. It cares about moving forward the quote unquote plot of the movie, which will happen right now because Justin's like, hey, Tim, you want to come with us and do some
mission
stuff? And Timmy's like, oh boy, yeah, I do. He sucks. I hate him.
God, I wish he sounded like that. He doesn't sound like that anymore. Now he's got that like I don't know how to say it, like, just like generic teen voice.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to steal some stuff from some humans so they can build stuff and eat stuff. You know, the shit that the rats do.
Pause. The whole point, the whole fucking reason why they wanted to move out of their original home and into Thorn Valley was because, quote, we no longer want to live off of humans. It isn't right. And now we learn they're still fucking doing this shit.
It wouldn't matter to me too much because they're clearly stealing trash. Except that since this movie has not cared at all about the original source material, I just assume they've forgotten that this is why the rats moved out to Thorn Valley. They don't want any human interaction, but here they are doing human interaction. Anyway, so I want to tell you my next note because I think it's a good lead into what actually happened. My next note is, fuck you, Timmy, I hope you die.
Yeah, yes, correct. Because he's given one job. They're like, hey, there is a ravenous dog who loves eating rats.
Yep.
Your job is to warn us if he's coming so that none of us get eaten by the dog. And Timmy's like, fuck you, man.
He's like, what? I want to be in on the action. And Timmy, it's literally your first day even doing this. Lookout.
Be cool. Hey, Timmy, can you just be cool just this once? Be cool. Can you just be cool just this once?
He absolutely
cannot. Just this once, be cool. And also, what fucking... They're getting trash, dude. What fucking action? They don't even have weapons. They didn't even bring swords and spears to this shit, which we know they have.
So, Timmy drops his whistle and goes to fucking pout in the corner because he's a little shitheel. And then... when he hears movement, picks up his slingshot, steps on his whistle, destroying it, doesn't even look like, oh no, I destroyed my whistle, just doesn't give a shit. It is very hard to make me hate a character more than this. Like, he's like literally gonna get his friends killed.
This is literally the character trait you give to the best friend who's gonna become evil.
We'll get there for sure, for sure, for sure. And then I'm like, okay, so there's going to be like this big chase fight scene. But no, I mean, yes, obviously. But no, then he meets a love interest. Coincidentally, this is the exact moment I decided to start making the video go faster. This movie, when it is not being actively offensive to its source material, is paint by numbers in the crudest way. This is almost exactly what you might imagine this movie to be when you hear about it. Oh, Timmy to the rescue. Well, I guess there's a young kid and he wants to be a hero and he meets a girl and like, yes, all of that. Will any of it feel new or fun or original? Absolutely not.
No. We meet, oh God, oh Jesus Christ.
I have no idea.
Jenny McBride. And she shows up and she's like, we gotta get out of here. I'm a city rat. And then the hijinks ensue. It's all Timmy's fault.
It's all Timmy's fault. The thing that they learn is that the McBride girl can read, which is weird. And it turns out that she can read because she is also from Nim. She is the child of the rats that originally were thought, the mice that were originally thought to have died. Because all the mice died except for Mr. Brisby and Mr. Aegis. But now they're like, oh, those mice are alive. My parents sent me to get help because something horrible is going to happen at the full moon.
Something. Who knows what it is?
Yeah. Can I?
It could be anything.
Yeah. Let me mention something really quick. Because this ticking clock means nothing. Because as it turns out, by the end of the movie, there is no reason for the full moon to be the reason when stuff pops off. Mm-hmm. Particularly because the twist means that originally the full moon thing must have meant something else. Because there's a twist to this movie. Genuinely was the one bit of the movie where I was like, I'm upset that this twist is actually almost a good idea.
It is like 50 to 60% of a decent idea. It's a D, which is a failing grade.
Well, it was the first bit where I was like, is this movie trying something? And then it didn't have anywhere to go with it, mostly because none of the characters have any chemistry with each other, if that makes sense. Like, they interact with each other on the most vanilla way, so it just, nothing happens.
Well, it also doesn't help that, and this doesn't sound like it's a problem, but once we reveal the twist, you'll know it's a problem, which is that the villain is voiced by Eric Idle. And I know that that sounds like it's not a problem, but trust me, it is the biggest problem. The Rats of Nim are like, oh shit, should we go save the five? And then they're like, no. Sorry.
I get a character assassination at this movie. If this was the rats in the last movie, there would have been like a big vote in the council, and Justin would have come out like furious, like he's supposed to be the leader and he can't get them to do this. But instead they're all like, nope, can't do it. This seems like a really bad idea, actually. Also, we're going to kidnap you now, child, so you don't go try to do it. You'll just get us discovered.
At one point, Mr. Aegis is like, well, sorry that you're our prisoner. Bye. It's like, all right.
Whoever's playing Mr. Aegis is trying something.
It's the same guy.
Okay, he's like trying to put like a little bit of fucking into Mr. Aegis. It's not working because he can't, because like I said, there's no chemistry in this movie. He has nothing to bounce off of.
Yeah. And also, again, nothing for him to say, right? That matters.
Nothing for him to say. But there was that bit where I was like, I see you, Mr. Aegis.
Yeah. So Timmy and her and Jenny are stuck in the room, and Timmy's like, and she's like, well, I'm going to go anyway. I always thought the Rats of Nim were heroes, but I guess they're not heroes. And okay. Timmy's like, well, I gotta go help you.
Yeah, this is when I need to bring up something very important that made me hate Timmy again, even more. Every layer of Timmy makes you hate him more. It's actually very impressive for character building.
It's kind of awesome how incompetent the scripting of this movie is, that it does everything in its power to make Timmy suck and be the worst and also suck.
It's sort of like, okay, this is such a weird pull. It's sort of like in Little Shop of Horrors, how Seymour is slightly too shitty to be the hero of the movie. And when it ends, you're like, why did Seymour like win? And it's because in the original he was supposed to lose, but it bumped people out too much.
It bumped people out too much.
And this feels like Timmy was originally written to be fucking killed by the end of this movie because he sucks so goddamn bad.
It kind of does.
Yeah, so he's like, how did you even know about Nim? Nobody should know about Nim. And she says, oh, there was a mouse who would talk about the rats and Nim in the next cage over. And he was like, yeah, the valley south by south by south. And Tim's like, well, Martin used to say that. She's like, yeah, that was his name, Martin. And then he unfolds a letter from his mom that says that Martin disappeared.
And not only that, but that she sent him that letter when he got to Nim.
So it's been years and years. He's only brought it up now. He's been a little shitheel all of his life. His brother is fucking gone. And not only did Timmy not help him, but some the fuck how Mrs. Brisby hasn't been out every day.
She would have burned down the human city to get him back.
She would have. Also, and this is a small thing, but actually it might kind of be a big thing. This movie full ass forgets that there are two other Brisby kids, and it's because they're girls.
Yeah, Tony.
So they don't get to
Hey, what are they supposed to do? Huh? are they gonna cook their way out of this, Tony? Like women? like women? What do you think they're gonna do? God, it sucks so bad. It's so terrible. Like, this is Brisby is such a strong and like compelling character who acknowledges, like, multiple times throughout the movie, her own fear and cowardice and overcomes it anyway. And Timmy just sucks. And also, on top of that, they don't let her save her own son. That's literally the whole point of the last movie. And she just sends him a letter like, yeah, I guess your brother's missing. Well, what can you do?
So, Timmy sucks. They escape using one of the literally many, like, three or four flying machines in this fucking world. It's helium balloons, which is fine. Like, whatever.
Are them helium balloons? They immediately get attacked by a falcon.
Pretty good. I don't know about you. At this point, I was absolutely rooting for the falcon. Every time something tries to kill Timmy, I'm like, yeah, get him.
At first, I was like, why would a falcon give a shit?
Yeah, you know? I was actually kind of like that. Like, would a falcon even attack some balloons? He's not even attacking the mice. He's attacking the balloons.
The balloons. And then I was like, well, you know, hopefully Timmy dies and the movie just ends. I know in my heart that that's not a possibility, but, like, you know, this is crazy because the falcon does end up popping all of the balloons and they do end up falling like an insane height.
Yeah.
But they're fine.
They're fine. They're small. I actually think mice can probably fall an insane height and be fine.
Yeah, they could, because they have that thing, right, where their bodies are, like, smaller than, like, that are too small to, like, achieve, like, terminal velocity because of air resistance. Yeah. There's, like, a Hank Green video about this. Go look it up. So,
the bird gets scared away by this caterpillar.
This is the most disgusting character design. This caterpillar looks awful.
Andy?
He looks terrible.
Andy, I got a hot take for you right here.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
give a shit that the caterpillar looks terrible. I give a shit that this caterpillar has nonsensical character development. Development that makes no sense.
No. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. What is this character's name? Cecil. We meet Cecil.
Cecil is a grifter. His big thing, he's clearly trying to sell these kids on the Great Owl. Now, Timmy's already going to go to the Great Owl because he doesn't know where the fuck Mim is, and he figures the Great Owl can tell him. And this character's like, she's just like, come see the Great Owl. He's amazing. He'll tell you everything. And they're like, great. And he tries to get money from him, and they just like, whatever, fuck off.
Well, Jenny strong-arms him. Jenny's like, I'll break your fucking body.
Jenny does strong-arm him. Good to know. I should hate Jenny too. That's awesome. Picking on somebody smaller than her. That's cool. Anyway,
to be fair to Jenny, unlike Timmy, Jenny's doing this because she wants to save her family like today.
Yeah, that's true.
Timmy's like, come on, Jenny, are you sure you can't wait like another 10 years?
Yeah. So Timmy goes into the Great Owl's lair, and I had a moment here where I was like, if they show the Great Owl, they're going to pick apart literally the rest, like the last bit of the last movie that was any good. Like, they're going to ruin the Great Owl by showing him
correct
on screen. Mm-hmm. I was like, they can't, right? They can't do that.
There's no way.
And the answer is no, they can't.
They don't.
And I was like, for the first time, I almost respected this movie for knowing that it had limits.
It is such a wild place to show restraint. It's like, well, we can't. We absolutely can't get away with this.
Yeah, that's not that one. No way. They probably looked at the character design when we're like, we cannot make it look that weird.
There is no way we could animate that. We can't even animate Nicodemus because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
But also, like, yeah, they couldn't make anything look that nasty and gnarly.
So the Great Owl is just Jeremy in disguise. Jeremy, in the intervening years since dropping Timmy off, has gotten wrapped up in this fucking con with Cecil. And it's very weird that it is a con, because it also might just be like a sideshow act. Like, is he supposed to be the Great Owl, or is he supposed to be like a parody of the Great Owl?
He's definitely supposed to be the Great Owl. He's doing it.
I know he's supposed to be the Great Owl because he removes the thing and everybody gets mad. But I
find
it confusing.
But what I find confusing is, like, to what to what end? Cecil, I mean, for Jeremy, obviously, they're giving him all this shiny stuff, and he's like, I love this. I'm going to get all the babes with this.
Right.
But for, I know that at the end of the last movie, he got a babe. He didn't. Sorry, that didn't happen. No babes for
That's
Jeremy.
One of the things I noticed where, like, if people are happy at the end of a movie, during a sequel, you have to take away their happiness.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, to be fair, this is the one retcon where I'm like, that makes sense. That was never going to last. They were literally the same person.
Do crows mate for life? I mean, who knows? Maybe.
I think they do. I think they do, actually. I think they might be one of the few animals that do.
Maybe she's kind of a love it and leave it type of crow, you know?
Yeah. But so he's doing it for the shinies. Why is Cecil doing it? Cecil is a, I don't know if we've said this, a caterpillar.
A caterpillar. This is one of my main issues with animal,
Yeah, capitalism?
Right. Let's call it what it is, animal capitalism. So when an animal character is portrayed as greedy, you have to explain how greed can happen for this animal character.
Like Mufasa, sorry. Like Scar.
Right. Scar wants power, and to get power, he uses the hyenas. Hyenas overhunt. So everything's overrun and terrible. I get that, because they made it make logical sense in the movie.
Yeah, to the world that they've created.
Right. But what does Cecil spend money on? Like, he's a caterpillar. He just needs a leaf.
Do you see the tiny little suit, the tiny little gloves? He's got to get that tailored.
Jeremy loses his disguise, his owl disguise, so he grabs Cecil and Timmy and what's her name and flies them all off toward Nim.
And then they get to Nim, and Jeremy and Cecil are like, we're not going in there. What they do to animals in that place is horrible.
I have another design issue. I was actually okay with the design of the city itself.
Yeah.
Because it did kind of like a weird, like,
almost like a Batman.
All the angles were strange because you're coming at it from a bird's point of view and maybe from a mouse's idea of what a world looks like when they were flying in. But Nim itself is like a creepy, creepy place.
It's like Dr. Frankenstein's castle.
I was like, no, this should be a boring office building. Because if anybody's going to be experimented on, it's going to be in boring office buildings.
It's wild that Nim is just like Dr. Frankenstein's castle.
Right. Just like in the middle of the city. Like, that's weird.
Not just in the middle of a city, but in the middle of like four, I don't know how to describe them other than like empire or like eight Empire State Buildings all clustered together to make like a golf hole for a building to go in.
Like it's the most open secret you can imagine, because like all these buildings are blocking it, but everybody in the building could see it.
But yeah, like I'm a person who works in research, and let me tell you, it all happens in just the most beige, like rectangles you can imagine. Maybe you got like a fancy glass side, if you're lucky, if you're at a good university. Not that I'm not at a good university, but you know.
And if you want to make research scary, I feel like making it beige and boring is scary. Like the idea that you could experiment on sentient beings
and no one would know.
Yeah, just because it just looks like everything else.
So they the Jeremy and Cecil are like, we're not going in there, it's too crazy, it's too wild.
And then we won't see them again, right? Because it would be weird for them to change their minds.
It would be weird if they changed their minds, but they're pretty adamant about it, too.
Yeah, Cecil is only out for himself, and Jeremy is just scared. And nobody's there to convince them otherwise. So why would either of them show back up?
So they leave
forever, obviously. And then Timmy dies.
Timmy dies. Timmy and Jenny go into Nim. They sneak around a bit. They're being stalked by a shadowy figure.
Oh, we should mention this. We know who the shadowy figures are. Oh, I guess we...
Yeah.
They're Frankenstein cats. They made some Frankenstein cats by making them smart.
They made some Frankenstein cats.
They're also...
But, like, not too smart.
They're still pretty stupid, but, like, they can walk and grab things and take orders.
And they're yoked. They're so fucking yoked.
They are very yoked. It's upsetting. Also weirdly upsetting, I was like, this is an odd choice. these scientists made dogs. I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I think you need to say that in a way that is more clear.
So there are these scientists in a big kennel who their brains have essentially been turned into dog brains.
Correct.
And what the fuck is this girl's name?
Jenny.
Jenny's like, you can tell how crazy the doctor is. Look what he's doing even to humans. And I was like, you know what, man? That is like...
That is pretty fucking wild.
That's pretty wild. Why the hell would he do that? And then we move on.
They're all just sitting in the kennel, like sadly howling too.
It's like it's the one part of the movie that was like, huh, that almost harkens back to like that creepy 80s vibe of the original.
Yeah, yeah, they're channeling the spirit of Don Bluth in that moment.
Yeah.
And then yeah, we leave that to we find the mice. And then,
So first they run into the Rats of Nim.
This is so fucking insane.
Who have followed them here and decided that they're gonna, like, help
them.
Does
democracy mean nothing to them, Tony? They voted no.
Maybe they did an emergency vote. Look, they're already going. So, maybe we should send Justin. And Justin, who I guess hasn't learned anything from last time, tells Timmy to keep watch. And Timmy, who 110% hasn't learned anything from last time, yep, fucking doesn't.
He fucks right off.
And, like, it's way too late in the movie for him to try to do a face turn now. This is the moment when he has to have learned from what happened in the movie. Like,
right. But no.
We're past it.
Yeah, Justin's like, come on, Timmy, keep an eye out while we do this. And Timmy's like, hey, man, fuck you. And he leaves. He straight up leaves. He's not there.
But the weirder part is, then they start getting grabbed, and he looks in on them and also gets grabbed. So he didn't even, like, leave in a way that would have made sense for the story. Because he essentially turns right back up just in time to get got.
They get captured by the cats. Mm-hmm. The cats, one of the cats just grabs Timmy and eats him, and my heart rate jumped. I was like, oh my God, are we free? And he spits him back out.
Do not tempt me with a good time.
Right. They haul everybody, the Rats of Nim, the imprisoned mice, Timmy, Jenny, Justin, out to Dr. whatever the fuck his name is.
His name does not matter. We will find out.
We'll find out in like 2 seconds. Because that doctor has been turned into a dog.
At that moment, I was like, what? And then it turns out the twist is that Martin is the bad guy. He tricked the doctor into making him smart enough so that he could use the doctor's machine to make the doctor stupid. And I was like, how dare this movie have a twist that good?
It's almost, that's like some Looney Tunes back in action shit, right?
It's solid.
It's genuinely really good, and it's wasted on this movie.
It's absolutely wasted on this movie because the problem is that Martin and Timmy, neither of them act like they are actually brothers.
Well, because Martin is insane. He's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in that cartoon way.
But Timmy, his reaction to it is that, like, oh, he's a hero now. Like, oh, I'll never join you. Instead of like, oh my God, Martin.
What happened?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Like, are you okay? Can I help?
What did they do to you?
He's like, no, I'll never. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Timmy?
They're like in different movies again, because you have to, I don't know if you forgot, but I'm going to bring it up again. Martin, who is Timmy's brother, all American Timmy's brother, is voiced by Eric Idle, which means Timmy's like, I'll never do it. I'll never join you. And then Martin's like, are you sure you don't want to join me, Timmy? We could be evil together. It's like, what's happening? What are we doing? And I love Eric Idle. Do not get me wrong. Eric Idle is not the problem. He's just also not a solution.
He's not a solution. It borders on sad to me that, like, this is an interesting take to make Martin a
tragic villain.
Kind of asshole, but, like, lovable older brother from the beginning of this movie. A tragic villain, a ruined person because this is what happens with trauma, right?
Because of his obsession.
But this not only does not work for Martin, does not work for Timmy, mm-hmm. does not do anything interesting, but spoilers, by the end, he will be quote unquote fixed.
It is insane that they do this, but...
And Timmy will run across... the fucking rat city being like, I finally have my brother back. And it's like, what?
the Martin's like, I've brainwashed all of these rats. Mm-hmm. And on the full moon, we're going to invade Thorn Valley. And I'm going to brainwash all of the rats of Nim so that we can live in a perfect utopia.
Pause. Far be it from Rye to pick out the very few plot holes of this amazing movie.
Of this cultural staple.
But mm-hmm. why is he planning to do this on the full moon? There's no reason that he has to do it on the full moon, one. But two, clearly the scientists had something else planned on the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
That Martin interrupted by stealing his brain. And now he's doing some different shit on the full moon.
Yeah, at no point does Martin ever explain why the fullness of the moon is necessary.
Yes. I could almost buy, honestly, that because he's a mouse, he's like, that's just literally how I know what day I'm going to do it. Because I don't really use calendars. But then I don't understand why Jenny ran all the way to the rats and then being like, I'm the full moon, they're gonna really fuck up my parents. Like,
they're gonna do something so fucked up and crazy and terrible that they'll cease to be my parents.
Yeah.
But also, why hasn't Martin turned them into evil brainwashed mice?
Unclear, because there are evil brainwashed rats. I don't think they ever actually have to fight them.
No, they're just kind of walking around. They Metal Gear Solid their way around them.
Yeah. And he brainwashed the cats, which went pretty quickly because we saw that scene. So why didn't he brainwash the mice?
I do want to quickly point out that the voice of Jenny in this movie is, in fact, the voice of Meryl Silverborough in Metal Gear Solid, and also the voice of Princess Bubblegum.
Wow.
I know.
She's done a lot better than this movie.
This movie was like one of the first, like, roles she ever had, which is crazy.
She a child actress at the time?
I don't think she was a child actress. She would have been in her 20s, but it's like one of her first roles ever.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta get something, even if it's a...
When you're a starting voice actor, you gotta get food on the table.
Take what you can get.
Martin traps Timmy in, quote, dad's favorite cage, end quote.
It's a funny thing for him to claim. And I don't hate that he said that, because
it's really good. It's really good.
And he takes Jenny because he thinks that, like, she's so much more interesting than Timmy that she'll be a good brainwashed slave, which I think is gross, but also a great backhanded compliment to Timmy.
Yeah. Same. There's also an implied, like, oh, she's your love interest, I'm going to make her my love interest. Again, a la Frankenstein.
Yeah, and that's gross, and I don't love that. But I do love him being like, literally, I might have mind controlled you if I thought you were worth it. But you're absolutely not.
Yeah, you're super ain't.
So Tim sings a fucking reprise of his hero song, this, Let Me Get Out of the World's Smallest Violin.
This is genuinely the craziest thing that this movie has done. Timmy is singing about how he'll never be like his dad, and intertwined with it, like world's shittiest knot, like literally sliding in from the right of the frame, like a fucking Star Wars, like, jump cut.
It looks like a PowerPoint presentation.
Hulk 2004 ass editing. Like, is Jenny singing about how she loves Timmy?
Oh, by the by, they have had some romance bits, but again, nobody in this movie has any chemistry. So, like, they keep on, like, leaning in to kiss each other in random spots. Like, it does not make any sense. I don't know why they give a shit about each other.
And also, again, cannot stress this enough, the animation in this movie is so bad. You show me these characters' faces, and the only emotion I can give you is on weed. like not love, but like, we're both high and this is what's gonna happen next vibes.
Maybe that's just what they were going for.
Yeah, maybe that is what they were going for. But this song sucks. It's so bad. And then who shows up? Who saves the day? The character turn that nobody saw coming.
It's easy to not see it coming when it doesn't make sense.
It's Cecil.
You know, the character who's only out for himself and only cares about himself, only cares about money and himself. He's here. Why is he here? And how is he here? We will never learn the answer to that. In fact, Timmy asks him and he says, well, a hero needs a sidekick, doesn't he? Well, Cecil, you've sure demoted yourself for some reason.
He becomes fucking Jiminy Cricket.
He does for no reason. This isn't his character at all.
Quick sidebar. Mm. The idea of Jiminy Cricket being like a fucking like grifter who's out for himself and just being like, yeah, Pinocchio, I'm your conscience. That's awesome. I don't know what, but like I would have to genuinely sit down and write that to make sense, but I love it.
What if you made a game where you played as Jiminy Cricket?
Yeah.
Trying to convince Pinocchio of something.
I feel like you've taken the idea and put it further away from the realm of possibility.
I absolutely did. I just thought it was a funny concept.
That would be great. I would play it.
I guess it's sort of like everyone is John, but you're playing as Jiminy Cricket on Pinocchio's shoulder.
Yeah, it's a very Stanley Parable-esque idea.
Yeah, okay. So Cecil gets Timmy out because he can pick locks. Okay.
No, that's not what happens.
Timmy gets Timmy out because Cecil says some dumb thing about a key.
Cecil's like, hey, man, sometimes people make mistakes. That's okay. It's not like you need to have the key to the city.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my god, the key that Justin gave me in a very, very, very early cutscene that I've had on me this whole time, even though you can't see it.
When I was a child.
When I was a baby child and I first went to college.
Maybe it's the same key. Why?
It's not the same key. And he's like, right, but I can use it to pop open the hinges. Like, okay, I guess. And then later, by the way, it does turn out that Cecil could pick locks, so why did this scene even happen?
Why does this scene even exist?
So then Timmy goes to find those cats that are asleep so that he can murder them.
And he does.
Yeah, and I don't know why he did it. They were asleep.
He wakes them up, he runs them into an elevator, and then he drops that elevator down a shaft. He also, unbeknownst to him, sets this building on fire.
I thought that was the plan until later when I realized it wasn't.
Yeah, I also was like, damn, I guess Timmy's also just going to burn this place to the ground. Good on him. No, he did not know that happened.
Here's the thing, Andy. If you have to do like guerrilla tactics, and it's just you and a bug, you got to create a distraction.
Absolutely.
And an electrical fire is a pretty good distraction. But apparently he didn't mean to do that. At least two times in this climax, I gave Timmy too much credit.
It's so fucking funny because before he does this plan, Cecil's like, what are you doing, kid? And he's like, I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm thinking this through all the way. And then it's like, but you did it. You started a fire. You
started a fire accidentally, you big dumb idiot.
I genuinely don't remember how this resolves itself.
Timmy, while Cecil is going to go free the rats, Timmy is going to go find Martin. Again, it really doesn't seem like they keep things through. It seems like he's doing the emotional bit. Like, yeah. I want to do this. Whatever. But he finds Martin and Jenny. They fight. Somehow Timmy wins. Timmy then tricks the mind-controlled rats into going to the wrong place. So that's fine. That'll hopefully take care of itself in the long run. And takes Jenny and leaves Martin unconscious. And I was like, why did he just leave Martin there?
Ice cold.
And in the next scene, I wrote, did he leave Martin to die like Darth Vader at the end of episode 3?
Yeah.
And then my next note is, oh no, he's just an idiot. He just set a fire and left Martin behind.
Yeah, he just didn't know he set the fire. But in that moment, I also was like, damn, that's cold. That's ice cold for your brother. But he eventually realizes there's a fire.
Who raised you?
Who raised you? Like the dad you never had. Nay, parent you never had because your mom doesn't matter.
Yeah, your mom, what's she gonna do? Good for you.
They don't even bring up, sorry, this is like a wild thing to complain about. They don't even bring up the like magic rock.
Oh, you remember that? I forgot about the magic rock.
You remember there was a magic rock? I thought that's what Justin was going to give him. And then he gives him a fucking key. And I was like, all right, well, I guess there's no magic rock in this movie, which is fine. It was the weirdest part of the last movie. But like, I don't know. Justin had it. They made a big deal about Justin having it.
Andy, this is very important, though. Timmy would fucking not be able to use that magic rock.
That's true.
Like, fear apart.
That's true.
You have to be not the biggest asshole in the world to use that magic rock.
Timmy goes back to save Martin. The cats that he killed turns out not to be dead, so he kills them in the exact same manner again.
So they didn't become that smart.
And this is truly the saddest thing. I think this is the only part of the movie that really worked for me. After Timmy kills the cats again, Martin shows up behind him, all like fucked up in the head, and is like, you forgot your key. Oh, he's like doing an Eric Idle voice, but I truly couldn't do that impression again if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Is like, you forgot your key, hero. And then like almost falls down the elevator shaft and dies. And that would have been sick. Could you imagine if they did that? Don Bluth would have done that.
Don Bluth would have done that. I just wish Martin hadn't become like good again by getting bonked on the head. Like, I really just like that.
I agree. But in isolation, it's a good moment, you know?
It's a good moment, sure.
Even bad writers can have good ideas.
He uses a hydraulic lift to shoot himself through a sunroof, and that was weird. And then Jeremy catches him. Jeremy has no reason to be here either, because he didn't know this plan and is afraid of Nim. So, like, why? I don't know.
Who knows?
Which brings me to my last note, fuck this movie.
Fuck this movie. We're back at Thorn Valley. There's a parade being thrown in Timmy's honor.
It might be for him getting married. It was very unclear to me. Sort of like the end of Quest for Camelot, which might be the one movie that can go can be on par with this one for being very bad.
I think also Eric Idle is in that movie. He's one of the dragons, and you know I love Eric Idle as like a person.
He's been in a lot of bad movies.
I think he might be a little, he might be poison. Not like, I don't think it's his fault. I just think it's one of those things where he's a little too eager.
The Eric Idle curse.
Truly is like the opposite of like Tim Curry showing up in a movie. Where Tim Curry shows up in a movie and you're like, well, at least Tim Curry's in this movie. For everything else, at least Tim Curry's in this movie.
Eric Idle shows up in a movie and you're like, oh, Eric, no.
Eric, come on, man. You know better than this.
but yeah, it's just like the end of that movie where there's a scene that's a celebration and also maybe a wedding and maybe a third thing, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it is a third thing, and we'll get to that because it's like the last thing we see in the movie and it's insane. So the Timmy abandons his own this is the saddest thing. Mrs. Brisby has an ADR'd in like off camera line where she's like, yeah. Oh, there he is, my boy. He's grown up so much since I last saw him.
Yeah, it's the actual like ADR specifically in this scene is like wild off the charts. It's like they wanted everybody to get one last thing in. So like if you go back and watch the scene again, don't. But if you were to like everybody says something. Timmy says like three wild things when he's not even on screen. Like, I don't even know the fuck this movie's doing.
He runs over because it's Martin. He's been cured. He's normal now.
Yeah, he's got a band-aid on his head, and he has lost the extra like a half a foot he got from the brain stuff, he got really tall for a while. Now he's short again. I don't know how that works.
He also has a crutch. So maybe they just like lopped off his legs, like a reverse making tall surgery. Yeah, they
just like cut out his tendons. Just like, sewed them together shorter.
Yeah, he does it, and they like brush his hair and stuff so he doesn't look, he doesn't have that crazy look anymore. And he's also not voiced by Eric Idle anymore. He's normal now. He's like, I'm sorry that I couldn't be the brother you needed, hero. And then the movie ends.
I actually want to mention this bit since you say it. He calls him hero, and Timmy's immediately like, oh, don't call me that. And he's like, why? You saved everybody. And I was like, in any other movie with any amount of like somebody thinking about what was going to happen next, he would have said, why? You saved me. And it's just like, it would have been slightly stronger.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, the movie ends by cutting to the statue of Timmy's dad.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
It like zooms out and you see that they added Timmy to this statue. Well, why? I don't know. But on the plaque, they put Jonathan Brisby, ampersand son.
Now, I know what you're thinking. That's a dumb thing to put on a plaque. But, counterpoint, that's hilarious, actually.
That's so funny. It's so funny. Like, they're a fucking law firm.
Yeah.
Credits. Normally, I'm willing to stick through credits. I have never in my life closed a laptop faster.
Yeah.
I didn't even see what the credits were. I didn't look. I don't know who directed this movie. I don't believe anyone did, actually, based on my experience watching it.
This is the first movie directed by AI. That's not true, but I actually think that this is the rumor that we need to spread to make sure everybody's against AI.
Wow, I'm looking up the director for this, and this guy has had truly like he is a long time working animator, worked on. Here we go. Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2, The Many Adventures, worked on The Rescuers, worked on The Scooby-Doo Show, Dragon's Lair, the first season of Sonic the Hedgehog, and The Mummy cartoon. This guy's had a really bad career.
I remember watching The Mummy cartoon as a kid. I don't think it was good. But
I don't think it was good either. I remember watching it, and every time I watched an episode, my thought was, man, I wish I could rent The Mummy again. I wish actually that I could watch The Mummy again. That's what I want to do, but I guess I'll watch this.
It turns out that this big purple mummy and this like kid with a bracelet are not as interesting.
Oh my god, he worked on Max Steel. Jesus Christ. And The Land Before Time, the series. Fascinating. I think the thing about this movie that really fucking pisses me off is that it makes Nicodemus into a huge fucking idiot. Because he made a prophecy that caused itself to be necessary. If he had just kept his fucking mouth shut and died,
which, by the way, canonically he did.
Yeah, again, he did die and did not say this shit in the last movie. But it's so contrived. But like, if he had just not said anything, right, none of this would have happened.
It sucks. It's lame. There was pretty much no redeeming part of the movie. There wasn't a little bit where I could be like, this character, though, this character was fun. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And you're right, possibly because I was fast-forwarding through it, I didn't even really get to appreciate Eric Idle. But
I cannot imagine what he sounded like to you.
I didn't even have a moment where I do have with like Tim Curry or a fucking Kronk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't like this movie, but at least he's delivering a performance. I didn't even feel like anybody was really delivering a performance.
Patrick Warburton,
yeah. He can be relied on. I got through two Hoodwinked movies because Patrick Warburton was there to help me. Thank you for listening to Direct Video. VHS?
VHS.
I've been your host, Tanger Busto.
I have been your host, Andy Reyes.
You can find my website at inspiredbytrueevents.org, or you can email me at mail@direct2.video. I'm done talking about Blue Sky because I've actually decided I don't want to use social media as social media anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm kind of like that as well a little bit, but you can find me on YouTube at Ethical Games Journalism. Hopefully, maybe someday I'll put something on there. Also, I don't know if you're interested, if you just like look me up, you'll find that I have like published papers on medical research. Go check those out if you have a free access to that shit. I'm pretty proud of the work that I did on them.
That's cool. And it's too bad that normal people won't get to read them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily encourage that because they are, you know, they're not like, I don't know, written for
they're not fun.
They're pretty depressing, actually, because of the notion, like the what I do for my job, which is, you know, researching people who are substance users. So if you're in for a downer kind of a time, I guess, you know, you can look me up there.
I was about to be like, so like light up your doobie and read this paper. I don't know why that's what popped into my mind. I guess I said it now.
It's good. You should have.
This is the one where I get canceled.
Wow, this one. This one? Are you sure?
Yeah, but it's actually about saying that I wish Timmy was going to die because it turns out everybody loves Timmy.
No, there's no human being on the planet that would ever think that. Even looking at the cover, you're like, fuck this kid.
The music that should be playing just about now is Homeward by Scott Buckley. And what are we doing next time?
In the year of animal movies. Oh my God. Oh yeah. Oh, great. This is good. Next time, okay. We will be watching. Wow. This is truly a run of movies.
This Whiplash is going to be freaking brutal, man.
Water shit down. Awesome.
I'm so excited to watch the movie that I assume kicked off all depressing movies of the 80s.
Yeah, I think so.
You can't prove that it's not true. It's 1978. They made a depressing movie about rabbits. I want to see it. Like, I'm very curious about it after I read the book.
I only know about it through, like cultural osmosis. I've never watched it.
People talk about it being, like, miserable, but I just don't think it was supposed to be for kids.
It was during that era of, like, animation for adults, kind of. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, the Lord of the Rings. Guy. Yeah, Ralph Bakshi. No. No, not like that. But I looked at the cover of that thing as a kid once, and I was like, I don't fucking want to watch that. That looks awful. The cover of it was just so horrifying and scary to me.
Cool. Strong story. It's got good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's going to be
people
a good
love it.
Watch.
People love it.
I'm excited for this one after this. Same. Like I said, the Whiplash is going to be crazy after this garbage pile of a movie.
Yeah.
I'm the Gresham Johnson.
Have you ever wanted to see a movie where a boy learns no lessons? What happened to that accent? Where
did he go? Him. He's where? Gone.
Oh, man.
It's good shit. Anyway.
Yeah, watch The Tick. Don't watch this fucking shit. God, Jesus Christ. I know you're going to probably cut all of that out.
I'm going to cut all of that out. Some of it might make it into the like end roll. I don't know. Talking about The Tick for like a little too long. But the Patrick Warburton, like old man happy face, that might make it in.